Welcome back.
All this research on this gal, but I know
or if it's your first time, hi. The dub fought begins.
Everybody thinks I don't fuck, Travis. I'm tired
four,
of it.
I'm going to reply to that. LOL,
two,
who cares if a woman comes?
One. Let's do this.
WFOD. My name is Mike. I am joined by my good friend, the king of pranks, the albino alligator, the popcorn bitch, the Duke of Denim, Mr. Travis Hulse. Hello, Travis.
Hello.
Travis, this Kellogg's guy. We got to talk about the Kellogg's guy, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So he was on, like, he wasn't on, like, normal TV talking about how you should eat cereal for dinner. He was on, like a stock market show, right?
Yeah, it was like a, wasn't it like a, just like a conference? Was it like a shareholders thing?
Yeah, it was like CNBC.
Or...
they were talking about stock market stuff, right?
Right, right.
And what he said is, guys, we're working on this thing to tell people that they should eat cereal for dinner.
Yeah, yeah. Inflation is so bad. Money is so tight. The message that we need to get people out is cereal is a good alternative for dinner to save money.
And the CNBC guy, Travis, after he said it, he replied. I pulled that, I thought, in case you hadn't heard it yet.
Maybe some people
haven't heard this, Travis.
I'm all for innovation and marketing, but the idea of having cereal for dinner, is there the potential for that to land the wrong way?
We don't think so. In fact, it's landing really well right now, Carl.
Spoiler alert, it's not landing particularly well.
Charles, people are not happy that he said that. They think that it's a condescending, I think.
Which I think is completely ridiculous. First of all, cereal is a completely acceptable full meal for breakfast. And also, I know plenty of people who into their 20s ate cereal for breakfast for years. They alternated between ramen, frozen pizza, and cereal for dinner for a long time.
And second of all, he's the CEO of cereal. Of course he wants you to eat cereal for all the meals.
Yeah, and he's coming up with a solution. That's more than our so-called president has done. You know, they're coming up with this bullshit term shrinkflation about how companies are making smaller portions and charging the same amount of money. Well, yeah, guess what? Corporations are a profit organization that have to pay people to work there. And in order to pay people to work there and have them stay there, they have to raise wages in order to be competitive. So now they have to raise their cost of good. It's capitalism. And you can say what you want about capitalism, but this guy needs to sell some fucking cereal.
What I'd say, Travis, is it shitty? Sure. But of course, right?
Right.
Yeah. They're going to try to make money. They're going to try to sell less stuff for the same price. They're going to try to get you to eat cereal for dinner. It's just what they do. This Kellogg's cereal for dinner thing that they thought up, that they thought was a really good idea, Travis. I found a commercial for that that's a year old. They've been pushing cereal for dinner for a while.
Of course.
Tony the Tiger. I got Tony the Tiger saying we should eat cereal for dinner.
Let's hear
cereal,
it.
Cereal, you say dinner.
I don't like the new Tony the Tiger voice, by the way.
I also don't.
They should have found a guy that sounded more like the guy.
Yeah, I hate to say it. People give me a lot of pushback on this. Use AI to create them.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as it sounds like the old one.
This Tony the Tiger stinks.
Yeah. Cereal, you say dinner. Cereal.
Dinner.
Cereal.
Dinner.
Chicken.
You can have the night off, chicken.
Oh, okay, I'll go marinate.
Completely fine. You know, there's a lot of time people don't even, I mean, even if you take the financials out of the equation, people don't want to cook, you pour a bowl of cereal. My kid, he's 12, The kid, he would eat cereal 5 times a day if you let him. He eats cereal in the morning, he eats cereal when he gets home from school. And if you say, I'm not making any dinner, and he said, what is there? And say, well, there's leftovers. He's like, how about I just have a bowl of cereal? Sure. Yeah, it's fucking dinner.
It's just breakfast soup.
Right. It's breakfast soup. And not to say that we're trying to get people to grab extra marshmallow Reese's Puffs and feed them to their children. Right. Like, there's plenty of healthier options than the sugar filled breakfast cereals.
Travis, let's stay on food. Did you see the Wendy's thing?
The surge pricing.
Yeah. Now, I was reminded, Travis, of a lawsuit. I pulled this specifically because I liked this guy's slick transitions, Travis.
You're late.
Pizza's free after half an hour.
Oh, come on, man. I just hit 2 people with my car to make it here. Domino's used to deliver their pizza in 30 minutes or less, or your pizza was free until they got sued. In order to make it on time, drivers were pressured to drive recklessly, causing countless accidents and over 20 fatalities. Domino's eventually ended the guarantee after a $78 million lawsuit against them. Domino's worked hard to deliver on their promise, but at the end of the day, they just couldn't slice it.
So many transitions in that, Travis. I loved it.
I do love the transitions. I also loved growing up. I grew up for years. My entire childhood was, they have to get you your pizza in 30 minutes or less or it's free.
Right.
There's even a joke, like an entire set piece in the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles where Michelangelo is waiting for a pizza from Domino's and he gets there and the guy's like, 37, 37, 38, 37 and a half. Where's 37 and a half? And then he's late. And he's like, down here. He's like, I couldn't find the place. Like, whatever, dude. Not paying full price for late pizza. Like, that would land on deaf ears now. Kids don't have any understanding of that. Like, you pay for the pizza whether it comes in 20 minutes or whether these assholes show up an hour and a half late.
But what I'm saying, Travis, is how is this different? If I'm trying to rush to get to Wendy's to get my Baconator for a dollar cheaper, how is this different?
It's not. It's the flip of the coin. The problem, and to be completely transparent, Wendy's has walked this back now. They're no longer going through with surge pricing. But the problem is this was marketed at all wrong. They should have got the Kellogg CEO to come out and be like, listen, guys, you want a Frosty at 9 o'clock? That shit's going to be cheap as hell because nobody's trying to get a Frosty at 9 o'clock. So come on into Wendy's where Frosty's at 9 o'clock are half price.
Guys, we're going to give you a discount if you come at weird times.
Yeah.
That's brilliant, Travis. But yep, if you were going to argue with me about the Domino's thing, I made a thing like the other guy's thing.
Welcome to Wendy's. Stuff is way more expensive right now.
Oh, come on, man. I ran over 4 pedestrians to get here on time.
It was hard to find the same rap music that he used. It wasn't easy, Travis.
I love it.
Actually think that Domino's lawsuit is probably bullshit.
I completely agree. And I think they should have fought that tooth and nail. And I thought they should appeal it. There's no better advertising than you get something for free if we fuck up. Timely service of fresh pies.
And then, like, you get something out of them taking too long. So then you're not even really that mad about it.
It's exactly. Yeah. Smart. You're not going to cost the delivery driver those and you get poor, a fresh pie.
Those poor motherfuckers have never really recovered. Like they've come up with so many dumb ideas since then. Like, I think now they have it to where if you buy a pizza, you get to bank an emergency pizza for a later use. I don't know what the fuck they're coming up with. But
yeah, I think something like if you buy 2 one-topping medium pizzas, you can bang the store manager's mom or something like that.
They had a thing where, like, you didn't even have to give them an address. You could just share your GPS location and they'd slow down to 10 on the side of a highway and give you a pizza.
They'd have to track you down. It's like, oh, you're in a public park. We don't need an address. We'll show up at that public park with your Domino's pizza.
I think Domino's headquarters is just like some crazy stoners sitting around just throwing spaghetti at a map and coming up with what they come up with.
And just like rolling shit out and being like, here's a guarantee that you get your pizza to your house in one piece. If you trip and fall, and your pizza splatters all over the ground, don't worry about it. We'll make you another pizza, because in reality, Domino's pizzas are probably about 50 cents worth of ingredients.
Travis, I have a couple clips of a guy. His name is Noel Castler. He's a comedian. I've never heard of him, but he wrote on The Apprentice for 6 years.
Wrote on The Apprentice? What?
The Celebrity Apprentice.
I thought Travis. That was real.
And he was on a show called The Midas Touch. This is not a new clip, but it's new to me. But I don't really have anything to say about it, Travis. I just wanted to play it for you because it's funny.
This is from The Midas Touch?
Yeah. The Noel Castler, he's talking about Trump pooping his pants.
He would often soil himself on The Apprentice set. He's incontinent from all the speed, all the Adderall he does, the cocaine that he's done for decades. You know, all that stuff has a laxative, and it has an effect on your bowels, and his are uncontrollable. He's worn diapers since probably the 90s, but I saw it firsthand in the 2000s on Celebrity Apprentice in late 2000s, and we'd have to stop the show and change him, you know, and that was Keith Schiller's job. He would take him off set, he would wipe him down. Our nickname for Keith was Wet Wipes.
He doesn't even wipe himself. He has a guy to wipe him for him.
That's how you can tell you're rich and powerful. You know, I mean, first of all, I have two things to say about that. The first thing I have to say is Donald Trump makes enough money to where he should be able to buy speed and cocaine that is not cut with laxatives, first of all. And second of all, I can't believe this guy hasn't already been sued into oblivion.
Well, yeah, I think that everybody on that show signed NDAs. Maybe he's just under the radar enough that it hasn't gotten to them yet that they should sue him. I have a little bit more. Do you want more?
Yeah, give me a little more.
He'll also do it in a rage, and this is where it gets really drug-related. He'll start to freak out. You know, one time there was the word arbitrage on a cue card, and he started screaming that the script department was setting him up. You're setting me up! And he just freaked out and then very loudly evacuated his bowels, and you could smell it, you know, and the guy who was holding the boom bike, Mike, you know, was tearing up.
You could probably only sue him for breaking the NDA if it's true, right?
Or, I mean, you can just claim that it's a lie and then sue him for defamation, right?
You could get him for one or the other, right?
Right.
Could you sue him for both? Okay, I'm suing him for defamation because it's not true, but if he determines it's true, I'm suing him for the NDA.
I think if you sued him for the NDA, you'd be admitting that it was true, and you'd have to bring that into court, and I doubt that that'd be something that he'd want to do.
I got the tapes of me pooping my pants. He can broke you imagine, the NDA.
Can you, listening to this story and also looking to see what, like, Joe Biden looks like now, who I imagine also shits his pants pretty regularly, can you imagine what the debate stage with Trump and Biden probably smells like? Just from between the old man smell and the potential for them to piss and shit their pants.
This November, pooping your pants is on the ballot. Whether you vote red or blue, there's a strong likelihood it will be a man with a full diaper. So make sure you're registered, America, and get out there and vote. Just because they can't control their bowels doesn't mean they can't control you.
WFOB! Travis, did you see the Willy Wonka thing that everybody was freaking out about?
They're already making a public domain horror movie.
Oh, no, are they really?
Yeah, I think they're taking a page from things like Pooh, Blood and Honey and whatnot. Yeah, they already have a Willy Wonka experience horror movie in the works.
Well, Travis, it wasn't Willy Wonka's.
It was Wonka's.
Willy's Chocolate Experience.
Yeah, Willy's Chocolate Experience. Yeah, all of the images that advertised to people, it was all just a cornucopia of colorful AI imagery that made you feel like you were in the Oompa Loompa-ist part of the chocolate factory. And when people showed up, what did they get?
They never say Willy Wonka. Instead, they call it Willy's Chocolate Experience. And as you might imagine, that's because of the copyright implications. And if you look at the actual script, you find out that internally, they weren't calling him Willy Wonka. They just wanted you to think that by calling it Willy's Chocolate Experience. They actually called him Willie McDuff.
Say, it's Willie McDuff's chocolate factory, Travis.
I also heard that the person who recorded like the narration that took you through Willie McDuff's chocolate experience came in to some very basic sound recording studio, and they paid him to record 13 pages of dialogue that was entirely written by AI.
Oh, yeah. Well, the guy who actually played Willy Wonka, he said it was all AI written. It was all gibberish, and he learned it in a day.
Right.
We were told on the experience to hand out a jelly bean, one jelly bean per child, and a quarter of a cup of Tesco's own brand lemonade.
Here's the thing about the script.
So I'll give you one of the lines from the script. I'm not going to do the Willy Wonka voice because I think I've embarrassed myself enough over the last few days. But one of my favorite lines was, "There is a man who lives here. His name is not known. So we call him the Unknown. The Unknown is an evil chocolate maker who lives in the walls." What? What is an evil chocolate maker for a start? Is it does he make evil chocolate, or is he an evil man who makes chocolate? And what do you mean he lives in the walls?
He's a chocolate maker that makes chocolate that turns you evil.
So you eat the chocolate and you become evil?
Yeah, that's clear as day to me.
So then does that give those kids license to act rambunctious afterwards?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know if you've ever seen Mayhem when they all get that virus and they all want to like just either bang or like stab each other.
Oh,
that's what the
right.
It's evil chocolate.
But I guess that wasn't the case because from what I understand, there was no chocolate to be had.
And no, one jelly bean.
Willie's chocolate experience.
This guy is saying that he embarrassed himself. Man, these are struggling actors. They'll take any gig they can get. You didn't embarrass yourself. Dude, you're trying to eke out a living. The fact that these weirdos advertised this crazy experience and what was it, like $45 a ticket or some shit like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, they brought their kids. This is like a dupe on those people. You know, you did your job. They paid you to do a job. You did the job. It's not your fault. I also like that the Oompa Loompa gal has kind of gone viral, too. That's been in the news with the Willy's Chocolate Experience.
Travis, I pulled a clip of her. It's not particularly good, but she's really pretty, and I like her accent.
The comments are savage. Very, very savage. And not very nice. I think people need to learn to be a wee bit more kind and realise that people are just human beings, and I'm just a normal 30-year-old woman from Glasgow who did a job that is the worst job, acting job I've ever done in my life.
A nice Irish lass. I'm a big fan too. You ever think that maybe the people who were involved in this, not the people who put, maybe the actors are the ones that put on this experience because they knew it would go viral like the Fyre Fest, and they figured they could get on like Good Morning America and shit to be like, listen, we're just doing a job. Wink, wink. If any director wants to give us a job, we'll do it.
Oh, so you think that they were in on it? So now yeah, they've had their viral
I think it's
moment?
Entirely them. I think all these actors who were in there, they made it as shitty as possible. They were, and so then they had these backstories where they're like, oh, no. You just did a job and AI did it. And we're embarrassed, but we're actually really good performers. So hire us.
A Peacock show now, Travis.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Who wants to be in Willy's Experience or some shit like that?
Just put her as like the sixth best friend in a show on Peacock and be like, oh my God, is that Oompa Loompa girl?
Yeah. She'd be like the lunch lady in the Bel Air series or something.
Travis, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, going to regroup. And when we come back, we're going to do more of this. WFOD. Are you envious of the social media heat attendees of the Fyre Festival and other cultural dumpster fires have gotten? Want some of that attention sent your way? You're in luck. From the makers of the Bullshit Box comes an all-new experience for the digital age, Mike's Bad Times.
you pay us to create the most shoddily, arguably unsafe environments, then you can take the selfies that'll get you interviewed on the Today Show. Don't waste your time with potentially good events that will create lasting memories with your loved ones. At Mike's Bad Times, you're sure to get noticed for our complete ineptitude to host
Mike's Bad Times. We did not have fun.
Mike Michael Moore. Mike Michael Moore.
Yo, it's Pharrell, aka Skateboy P. So check out
WFOT
right here, right now. Turn it the fuck up.
The civilized world must send a clear and unified message to the Iranian regime. Your campaign of terror, murder, mayhem will not be tolerated any longer.
You gotta keep them
tolerated.
Once again, WFOD, wheelbarrow full of dicks.
There's a stingray story I have. Do you want to hear about the stingray? Did you hear?
Is it the pregnant one?
Pregnant stingray, Travis, doesn't live with any dude stingrays. So they think maybe a shark fucked it.
And now they're waiting to see if it's a shark stingray crossbreed.
That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
That's a good horse. That's Meg 3.
A mysterious stingray pregnancy has baffled the staff at the aquarium in North Carolina. That's because that facility has no male stingrays. Scientists have offered two possible explanations. The stingray, named Charlotte, may have been impregnated by a shark in her tank, or she's going through a very rare process where her eggs developed on their own without fertilization, essentially creating a clone of the...
No, lady, it's the first one, because that's way more fun.
This is... talking about the second one... That's like George Lucas making up midichlorians for the Star Wars prequels.
Shut up, lady. The shark fucked the stingray. That's what happened.
It's a pretty rare thing where the eggs might have fertilized them. What are you talking about? That's not how it works. The shark fucked the stingray.
Do you think it'll be a mega predator, Travis?
I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't release it into the wild.
Yeah, because then it'll probably just start... See, then it could probably fuck both stingrays and sharks to make more.
You're just asking for a cocaine hippo scenario if you release this thing into the wild.
Yeah, I don't see how it's a good idea. They probably need to kill it immediately.
That's probably the best idea, so it can't lie dormant under some, like, rock or something, and then like in a century after it's like mega reproduced, like it just unleashes on a spring break vacation, like Piranha 3D. You know, we don't want any of that.
Because it's going to escape, of course.
If we've learned anything from anything, it's going to get out.
They're not going to kill it, though. They're probably going to study it and make more of them, like assholes.
What's going to happen is there's going to be some weird thing where it's going to be so rare that there's going to be some heist planned by some fucking weirdos that they think they can sell it on the black market for some kind of healing principles or something.
Oh, like some billionaire will want it in his collection.
Yeah,
right?
But what's going to happen is these thieves are going to fuck up and they're going to drive their van off a bridge. It's going to land in fresh water and this shark stingray is going to go on a tear.
No, what's going to happen is the heist people, one of them's going to double cross the other ones. And then in like a last ditch effort, like one of the guys is going to just like throw it out and be like, fuck you. If we don't get it, you don't get it.
Nobody gets it.
They're all going to shoot each other, right? So then nobody's even going to know about it.
Nobody has any idea what's going on except the guy who paid for it, who's like, fuck, I guess it didn't work.
He's not going to be able to find it. He doesn't know where it is.
No, he doesn't. There's not a tracker on it. It's just out there.
They changed cars like five times to cover their tracks. They're smart. They're the best in the business, Travis. Yeah,
they've been doing this thing. This is not outside of their purview. Like they've been kidnapping rare exotic animals for years. I mean, this crew is tight. It just so happens that this particular job, something went off the rails.
Well,
and,
the stakes are so high.
Stakes are so high.
I mean, there's only one of these, Travis. A shark fucked a stingray. That doesn't happen every day.
And this was one last job. They all agreed this was one last job. They were getting this and they were out.
Of course it was. You know what I bet that billionaire thinks? He probably thinks they just kept it for themselves. He probably put a hit out on them with like his other team. He's like, find those fucking guys. They stole my stingray shark.
Yeah, I wanted that for my personal aquarium. Get it.
But they can't get it. It's already out there.
It's too late. It's already too late. It's already descended on Sarasota, Florida. Is Sarasota waterbound or is that landlocked?
Well, this was in North Carolina, Travis.
it made its way down.
Yeah. I don't know where the billionaire is in this scenario, Travis. It's all very sketchy.
Yeah. This is not a good scenario for humanity in general.
No, we're fucked. I mean, we're fucked. Would it be great if it was something stupid like that, Travis?
It would really be great.
Like a stingray shark that just took us all out.
Yeah, that would be great. Everybody thinks it's like going to be nuclear Armageddon or, you know, the food supply is going to run out or we're going to get poisoned by some virus or some shit or the government's poisoned. It's just a fucking stingray shark that just
a stingray fucked a shark.
Yep.
Made something crazy. It got loose. Made a whole bunch more. They killed us.
And now no one is safe.
They sunk all the boats. Can't get none of our stuff.
Yeah, how are we going to eat? Well, our trading partners can't get us our stuff, and we can't get them their stuff.
And now the stingray sharks are jumping up out of the water and fucking birds midair, and now they're airborne.
Now the birds are attacking. Like, what can we do? You know, our kids' kids are not going to know a world that the stingray shark birds have not been attacking the human population.
It's like we're the last generation that remembers pre-internet, Travis.
Exact.
The next generation is just going to be like, God, you guys grew up in a time where there weren't stingray shark birds.
You could actually go outside. You didn't have to be looking to the sky.
It's pretty stupid, Travis. It's very stupid.
I like it.
Somebody was talking about TV pilots and how, you know, because this Coyote versus Acme thing is really sticking in my craw, Travis.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's bugging me because I want to see it.
Right.
And I can't. And that irritates me. Anything they told me that I couldn't see, I'd want to see. But this sounds great and I want to see it.
For years, I had a hard-on for the Jerry Lewis clown Holocaust movie. because there was rumors that it existed. People were saying that they had seen it. It was locked in his vault. They're like, I saw like 20 minutes of it. It's fucking crazy. And it was, I just had this hard on for this movie. I'm like, I gotta see the fucking Jerry Lewis clown Holocaust movie. That sounds just insanely tone deaf in the first place, that Jerry Lewis is dressing up like a clown to try to entertain the kids in concentration camps. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? This movie is a thing. Yeah. And nobody deleted it. They just kept it in a vault. And then now you can see, I think you can go online. I think you can see some of the Jerry Lewis Holocaust movie.
Somebody was talking about TV pilots and how a lot of TV pilots that don't get made are just tax write-offs.
Right.
And some of them sound, I want to see them.
There was a Wonder Woman with Adrian Padalecki, a Wonder Woman pilot that was done for NBC that looked ridiculous, that I would have 1,000% watched.
So when there's a tax write-off on film.
Right.
And the film exists. They shot the fucking thing.
Yeah.
And it exists. Does the government own that?
No, you just can't release it. You can't release it for profit.
You still own it.
Yeah.
See, that fucks up my plan, Travis, because I was thinking, like, you know, the tax write-off channel, the government could just seize this stuff because they own it, but they don't own it.
Right. No, I don't believe that they own it. I think the tax write-off just comes in the fact that the project never gets released. Like, it was made, they spent a bunch of money on it, it's a write-off because it's never going to get released. They're never going to make a dime on it. There's no reason, I guess my point is, people were talking about they were going to delete it from existence. There's zero reason to delete it from existence. They just cannot release it in a for-profit manner.
Why can't they just, like, put it on YouTube and say, here you go, guys?
Somebody probably could, but I don't think Warner Brothers can.
Why?
I don't think they can release it at all if they're going to take the tax write-off. Listen, for all intents and purposes, that Batgirl movie that was going to come out might have fucking blown. But Brendan Fraser was in it as Firefly. It was the first time you were going to see Michael Keaton as Batman again. I really wanted to see that movie. When they were like, oh, no, it's canceled, you'll never see it, it pissed me off. Yeah. This Coyote versus Acme thing, like, the more people talk about it and the more people involved with it said that they've seen it and shit, it's so good. This sounds like it's an amazing premise. It's probably great. There's so much of this shit that it's like, you give it to me, I want to see it. There's probably hundreds of thousands of projects that have been made since the 1980s that if you heard the premise of the pilot, you'd be like, I want to watch that fucking show that never went to series or just got taken to the tax write-off.
I heard that Bill Burr and Kevin Hart made a pilot of a TV show like right before Kevin Hart got really popular.
Oh, sure.
And like, they were going to make a show together and they made a pilot and it didn't get picked up. And then Kevin Hart got really, really famous. Put it somewhere. I want to
see it. It's got Bill Burr in it. Show it to me.
That's what we need this heist team for, Travis. The ones that got the shark stingray.
Right.
Steal all this stuff and Robin Hood it for us.
Some of these things probably still exist in like the old tape format for like when TV stations and shit used to like put in like actual tapes to like broadcast things. And even with films, you know, there's actually film canisters and things. Nowadays, it's probably a whole lot easier. You probably don't have to go through a lot of physical work to get these things. They're probably just stored on a server or somebody. I mean, if you can get Hillary's emails, there's no reason that you can't get this random person's Coyote versus Acme DivX file.
Travis, some guy broke into Jennifer Lawrence's phone and got like 900 pictures of her with her titties out.
Remotely.
You're telling me they can't get the fucking Coyote versus Acme movie for us?
Exactly.
That's been passed around on fucking Dropboxes, Travis.
Oh, 100%. Here's the link to the screener.
50 fucking studio people. Like, you remember when we got the Wolverine movie, like, before they put the effects into it?
Yeah, they didn't have any effects in it. Here it is.
That movie's in somebody's email. Steal it!
Guaranteed there's just links out there for it that have been forwarded around the entire industry. Look at, here's Coyote versus Acme. Don't share it. It's watermarked. Everybody's got access to that.
Travis, I got a really good pick of the week.
You do?
I do. There's a show on TBS, and it's stupid. But David Letterman has executive produced a new show on TBS called Stupid Pet Tricks. You remember when he used to do Stupid Pet Tricks?
Oh, of course.
Well, now it's a show, Travis. Sarah Silverman's hosting it.
And it's just dumb pet shit?
Yeah. They just have a bunch of animals come out and do dumb shit.
I love that.
It's a half hour. It's dumb, but it's great.
But it's like just animals doing fun shit.
Travis, the other day, they had a fucking chameleon come out, and they blew bubbles, and the chameleon popped the bubbles. It was fucking glorious, Travis. I loved it.
I like that a lot.
He was just reaching for him, all willy-nilly.
All slow-like?
Yeah.
Got it.
I think it's on twice a week. I think it's on like Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Oh, Jesus. They've got a lot of content.
Yeah. It's great.
We were at a Milwaukee Burger Company between basketball games for my son's basketball tournament. I don't know, a couple of months ago. And we were sitting there, and on the television, there was not really any sports on. So they had like dog races. They had like different classes of dogs running through obstacle courses and shit.
Oh, you're not talking about like the Greyhounds. You're talking about just like a silly obstacle course.
Yeah, like they had to run up ramps and through tunnels and then up a teeter totter and back down the teeter totter and around cones and shit. So these dogs had to have run this course hundreds and hundreds of times. But they had different size dogs, so they had big ones, they had little ones. There was like corgis and shit in there. And I'll tell you what, my entire family was mesmerized by that. We just sat there, like people didn't even take a bite of their awesome blossom. You're just staring at these dog races on the television.
Travis, did I tell you my dog story?
No, please do.
Oh, I got to tell you my dog story. Should you do your pick of the week first, or should we just stay?
No, do the dog story and then I'll do mine.
Travis, I went and visited my dad the other day. And on the way home, I'm on like a service ramp that goes along the highway. And I am coming up over this curb, like, and we're about to where you get off to get on the highway. And there's like this Ford Focus just stopped in like the left lane. And I'm like, why is this car stopped? And so I kind of slowed down and crept up on it because I don't know why this car has stopped. And there's this giant fucking pit bull, Travis. Probably, if I could guess, I'd guess he was 120 pounds.
Just solid muscle.
Huge animal, Travis. Just sitting in front of this Ford Focus looking up at the driver like, hey, what are you doing? I look over and there's like a 20-year-old white lady in this Ford Focus. Petrified, has no idea what to do. And so I put my flashers on, I stop, I get out of the car.
Now you guys have both lanes blocked off now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I open the back seat of the back car door. I say, hey buddy, you want to go for a car ride? Hops right in my car, Travis.
What did the driver do? What did she do?
She mouthed thank you to me and then drove
and then
off.
Left.
Yeah. And so I have
this thought that was your dog.
Fucking giant dog in my car, Travis. And I get back in
was
the car.
Was it friendly?
Nice as can be. He's such a nice boy. I pull into like the nearest shopping center and I called my wife and I'm like, what should I do?
Did it have tags at all or no?
He had a collar. He had like a really nice Kong collar, watermelon sized head.
Yeah,
and like
of course.
A real thick collar, but like nothing on the collar.
No tags at all.
Yeah. So he was somebody's dog, but not somebody smart enough to like put their address on his collar.
Right.
So I brought him home, but I was like, I'm not bringing him in our house.
No, of course not. Between your other two dogs, who knows what could happen?
Yeah. But in the meantime, this dog is so polite. He's really nice dog. Laura meets me in the front yard. We put a leash on him. We take him into the backyard. We just let him run around in the backyard. And we start calling around trying to figure out what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So we figured out about a half hour away, in the complete opposite direction where I was coming from, by the way, is a 24-hour vet. This is Sunday, so everything's closed. And it's later on in the afternoon, so even if something was open, they're closed now. Right. Animal control's closed. I called animal control. They were closed for the weekend or something. I called the police. The police said, I could give you the number to animal control. I was like, yeah, I already called them. They're like, well, I don't know what to tell you. So I called this 24-hour vet. I said, if I bring him there, can you like check and see if he's microchipped or something? And they said, yeah, bring him here. I was like, okay. So I go out to this 24-hour vet. It's on Manchester Road. I don't remember the name of it, but if you're in the St. Louis area, this 24-hour vet, so nice. They were very, very nice. I mean, like me and Laura looked like we'd just rolled out of bed, disheveled and whatnot. And we have this giant pit bull that we don't know where he belongs.
Right. And they don't have to do anything.
Yeah. I mean, like we barreled in there like a bull in a china shop, and they were so nice. And he was microchipped. And so they were able to call and find his information. They handed me the owner's name, phone number, and address on a cue card. And they said, we can't call them, but you can call them. Here's their information. So I called the lady, and she said, oh, I'm at an event downtown. It's like, okay. What do I do with your dog?
Yeah, but I have your dog.
She said, well, you know, there's somebody at my house if you want to go by and bring him to the house. I was like, okay. So we drove him back to...
Did she tell you what the dog's name was when you were on the phone?
Well, I had named him Spaghetti at that point, Travis, but his real name was Django. Django was on the information, and she confirmed that his name was Django. And so we drove him back to his house, which was surprisingly not as close as you'd think to where I found him, Travis. He must have had a hell of a day.
You ever think that maybe he was trying to escape his residence and wanted that white lady to run him over, like was trying to commit suicide by traffic?
But he was really warming up to us. I felt like Travis, he was, you know, starting to kind of come up in the front seat and wanting to navigate. And he gave both of us kisses, which, we immediately came home and took showers because...
Of course, because it was probably disgusting.
But, like, the thing about this dog, Travis, is if he wants to give you kisses, you're getting them. Right. You're not going to stop him. I learned that trying to get him into the vet, that, like, if he didn't want to go into the vet, I wasn't going to do anything about it because...
Because he's 120 pounds of solid pit bull muscle.
Giant, Travis. Giant, yeah. Dog. And so, yeah, I brought him up to the door. A teen girl answered the door, said thank you, closed the door in my face, and that was the end. So,
oh, isn't that nice? No, yeah, like, do you have any idea the fucking ordeal I've been through to get this dog back to you?
Hours,
you son of
Travis,
a bitch.
Hours I spent with Django.
Across fucking the city, back and forth to my home, trying to get him to not die in traffic, to the vet, making phone calls back to my house, and then to get him back to you. Oh, yeah. Thanks. See ya. You fucking assholes.
She said, thank you.
Close the door. I'd egg the fuck out of that house.
No.
Throw a can of beans at it.
Travis, you got a pick of the week?
Yeah, for that story, this is going to be very underwhelming. But Travis's pick of the week this week is Jason Statham.
Oh, just him?
Just him, not any particular movie. Listen, after watching Beekeeper a couple of times, which just still can't recommend enough.
You've watched it more than once already, Travis?
Yeah, I watched it twice. It was great. I watched it the very next day a second time. It was like, this fucking movie rules.
I'm jealous, Travis. I think I need another Beekeeeper watch myself.
Yeah, I can't wait. And he's got a new movie coming out with the same director based on a book by a comic book author that I really like from the 90s, like very prolific through the 80s and 90s and even into the 2000s, called I think it's called Levon Cade or some shit like that. I think it's executive produced by Stallone, directed by David Ayer, starring Jason Statham, which I'm very excited for. But no, in any event, after watching The Beekeeper a couple of times and then catching Homefront, the end of it on one of the movie channels, I'm like, God damn it. I need to revisit some Statham. So I went through some movies that I'd already seen. And remarkably, I'd missed a bunch, right? So like I didn't rewatch any Transporter or Crank or Expendables. Those have all been, I've seen them a million times. It's just like whatever. Redemption, which I thought was amazing.
Which one's Redemption, Travis?
Redemption is the one with the nun. Did you see that one?
I don't think I saw that one.
Yeah, so he's like an ex-soldier who's down. Some crazy shit happens when he's in the military. He comes back, starts being a junkie, gets taken care of by a nun. Was there like he had like a little street urchin gal friend or whatever. Stumbles into somebody's apartment, starts having some money that they could spend, and then gets tied up into some other bull. It's really good. Redemption's very good. That one's on Netflix right now. But no, I had seen that. I stumbled upon Blitz, which I didn't particularly care for. And somehow I missed the sequel
Blitz
to the
wasn't good. Redemption was?
Redemption was good. Blitz I didn't care for.
Okay.
Somehow I missed the sequel to The Mechanic, which I loved. The Mechanic.
Is that the one when he crawls under the pool and
yes, that's drove the second. That's the sequel. So The Mechanic was the one with Ben Foster, which I thought was really good. And there's a sequel called The Mechanic Resurrection, starring Jessica Alba is his love interest in that thing. I can't believe I had never seen it. Loved the sequel to The Mechanic. Yeah, so I mean, I've just kind of been going through, picking up some Statham movies that I haven't seen, revisiting some. I rewatched The Wrath of Man, which I didn't particularly love the first time, but can tell you that I absolutely loved it upon second watch.
Yeah. He's in one with Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, that's called Parker. That's another one that I rewatched.
Have I not Parker's seen all the Jason Statham movies?
I thought I had also seen all the Jason Statham movies, but then when I did a Jason Statham search on my media box, all sorts of movies came up that I was like, what is this?
I've never seen this one with Jennifer Lopez. I can tell you that.
Yeah, Parker is pretty good. You saw Homefront, right? With his daughter. And then, that one I love. But no, I highly recommend Redemption as well. Redemption is very good.
Huh. I'm gonna have to go through, Travis, because, I need to have a Statham marathon myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, before we were recording, I guess right after work, I started watching a 2005 motion picture called Revolver, where he's like a recently out of prison guy who gets tied up with Ray Liotta and Andre 3000.
Andre 3000.
Yeah. I'm like halfway through this thing. This one's really good too. I can't believe I missed so many Statham movies that weren't called Transporter or Crank.
Guys, we did it. We should do it again pretty soon, Travis, I think.
Please.
Probably more sooner than you guys think, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Guys, pray for Drunk.
Injury. He's very injured. That's why he's not here tonight. So thoughts and prayers to our good friend.
He's injured. So, yeah.
Hopefully our King of Cola can be back for next episode.
Listening to this installment of the Dub Fod. If you enjoyed it, subscribe on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you listen to podcasts. While you're there, take a moment to share a link, tell a friend, leave a review, or do any of the other things podcasts ask you to do. This operation is completely independent, and so your support is appreciated. Leave questions, comments, or whatever you want on our voicemail at 636-487-HAND or by email to Mike, Travis, or Drunk at WFODshow.com. Special thanks as always to our Patreon sponsors, The Duchess of New Jersey, Assistant Treads, Benny Michaels, Liquid Lozenge, Brian Kranz, Valerie Carpenter, Jay Adson, and Rabbit Poundings. You can become a Patreon sponsor yourself to get early access to episodes for as little as a dollar a month at patreon.com/WFODix. WFODshow.com has our entire back catalog. It also has a place to fully immerse yourself in DubFod lore with cola rankings, flat drunks, and more. You can also follow us at WFODshow on Twitter and Instagram, or WFODix on Facebook and YouTube. The music featured is provided by Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. All AI voices are fake, all content is probably a joke, and we think you're really nice and cool. We'll be back next week, but really, we're never gone. Take care.
Even though it's over.